All right, let's look. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And the Bible says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the wonderful mercy and grace that you've given us. Thank you for your salvation plan. And Lord, how that little boys and little girls and men and women could come and get saved. And Lord, it's just so good to be saved today. And thank you for that. But we ask today that if there's somebody here that's lost, that you'd speak to their heart. That you'd just convict their heart and break their heart and show them that they need to be saved and that they would move. Lord, as we preach now, I pray that you'd help us and touch us, for we certainly stand in need of you. I pray that you'd keep hindrances far away and folks' mind and that and their heart focused on the Word of God and on the preach time, God, I pray. And we just certainly stand in need of you today. No doubt, Lord, that we really do. And we won't know what to do without you. I pray that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh, and we'll give you the glory for everything that's said or done here today. And Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus who died for us and for those that have gave their life that we might be free today. We thank you for that. Save that sinner's nearest day up for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look in this passage of Scripture right here that is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, and really, it's the model prayer. You'll find the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. But the model prayer, if you go over in that and look in the book of Luke, I believe it is, in Luke chapter 11, you find that there is a time when his disciples and that come to him and they say, Lord, would you teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray? And you find this same passage of Scripture where he begins to lay out and how to pray. He's teaching his disciples how to pray. And so he begins in that to first deal with and that with the Father and his holiness. Listen, I believe that when we pray, we need to understand that we're praying to a holy God that's in heaven. Listen, we're not praying, as my pastor used to say, to a grandfather type that's sitting up in heaven ready to hand out lollipops to his grandchildren. Hey, listen, he is a holy and a just God that ought to be reverenced at all times. Listen, he's not the man upstairs. Listen, he is the creator of this universe, and he is the savior of this world, and we ought to respect him as so. Say amen right there. But listen, he said, hallowed be thy name. That's a holiness and that with reverence that we're to have. Then the Lord Jesus talks about his kingdom that's going to come. Hey, you know the kingdom is coming one day. Listen, you know the disciples got over there and Jeff read it in the book of Acts this morning or got on that scripture in Acts chapter 1. If we'd have read on a little further down through there, his disciples asked him a question. Lord, will this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? There is a kingdom coming one day. Listen, he's going to rule and reign. Listen, he said his will be done. We need to ask for the Lord's will. We see his daily provisions that we're to ask for, where it talks about there. Give us this day our daily bread. To ask for forgiveness as we forgive those that are against us. Talks about temptation. Deliver us from evil. And then he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that covers everything that the Lord is. But I want to deal with one thing that the Lord told his disciples and that to pray for in verse 13, where he said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I want to preach this morning having a simple thought on temptation. Temptation is the act of tempting or an enticement to evilness. The word tempt means to be enticed to do evil. Now let me say today that temptation is not sin. Temptation is not evil. Temptation is the enticement and that to disobey God. And so when he said right here to his disciples and was teaching them how to pray, one thing that he wanted them to pray for was not to be led into temptation. You know, the one thing that gets us in trouble today, church, is the yielding and that into temptation. You know why sin comes in our life? Because you were tempted and you yielded unto it. Listen, he said right here, lead us not into temptation. Can I say that by way of introduction, that the Lord cannot tempt us with evil. James chapter 1 and verse 13, let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. That I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Sometimes I can't read, amen. It's bad when you can't remember, and when you can't read, you're really in trouble then, amen. Might have to borrow somebody's seeing eyeglasses, I reckon. But listen, God can't tempt us with evil. A lot of people say, well, God told me, or God said, or I felt like God was. Hey, listen, God gets blamed for a lot of things that God wasn't nowhere around. Amen. God ain't going to tempt you to do wrong. And let me say this. If you feel like you need to go in that direction, and it's contrary to the Word of God, I guarantee you God ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. 1 John chapter 4 said, for let us try the spirits, whether or not they be of God. For there's many spirits, and that going out into the world. You need to be careful what you say God told you to do and not to do. He said right here in the book of James that God tempts no man. But I want to look at four things this morning, and that about temptation. Number one, there is a finding of temptation. You ever noticed how that temptation a lot of times just finds us? You ever notice how slick it is and it slips in and the next thing you know there's something in your mind and in your heart warning you in that to disobey and that the God of heaven. Let me say again that temptation is not wrong. It is the yielding to it that's wrong. I would like to think that when I got saved that temptation would go away. But did you know that when I got saved, it did not go away? As a matter of fact, it probably just got worse. If you'll take your Bible this morning, go over to the book of Luke chapter 4, you'll find that even the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was subject to temptation. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible said, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, I've preached on this. The devil shows up with temptation a lot of times at your weakest moment. These times that you would think that the enough is enough, but I'm going to be honest with you, the devil will kick you while you're down. He is not your friend. He is your enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, he devours us by the yielding of ourselves unto temptation, which creates sin in our life. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he is at one of the weakest points of his life, Satan shows up. In verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, see, notice what he dealt with. First of all, he dealt with his fleshly need. He has fasted for 40 days. I believe in those 40 days, if we read the book of Luke, that during that time, Satan has tempted him. But at the end of those 40 days, the very first thing that he tempts him with is to satisfy his flesh. if you ain't careful, if I ain't careful, that is what the devil's going to tempt us with, is to satisfy our flesh. I'll deal with that here in a minute. He works on our flesh. But notice what the Lord said. Thou said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You find that in the book of Deuteronomy. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And so we find right here that Jesus was subject unto the temptation of sin. Jesus was subject unto the very same thing that Eve was subject to in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. What little John tells us over there, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Hey, those are the three things that Satan tempts us with. But we find that temptation is common to all, ain't it? The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Listen, if you're facing it, I'll guarantee you your neighbors faced it. I'll guarantee you your children's going to face it. I guarantee you your mom and dad's faced it. There is no temptation but that it is common to man. You're not facing anything else that nobody else ain't faced. Sometimes we get to living in our own little world that we think nobody else has been here, that Satan is the only one, that he's attacking is me. Sometimes he does. I want to spend a little extra time with you to try to get you to fail. Amen. But what brings on temptation? If you take your Bible and you go to the book of James, and I'll just read it. He said, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. I believe we find two things that deals with temptation. You say, what's the big deal about temptation? I'm trying to keep you out of trouble. I've been thinking about this all week. What the preacher's job is, yeah, it's to lead folk to Christ. If you're unsaved, you need to get saved today. There's no doubt about that. But one of my jobs is to try to keep you out of trouble. And keep me out of trouble. And listen, if you can avoid temptation, that's good. But you need to know how to deal with it when it shows up. He said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. You remember a few minutes ago I said that God gets the blame for a lot of things. Can I tell you that Satan gets the blame for a lot of things too that he had nothing to do with? A lot of times it is simply this, you wanted to do it, so you done it. If you go back and you look in the book of Romans chapter 13, he said, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hey, your flesh has lust that it wants to do, it wants to perform, it wants to be satisfied, it wants to be pleased, it wants to be pampered. And listen, when you give in to it, then you're in trouble. But we blame Satan a lot of times. Was it Flip Wilson, I believe it was, back in the 70s that coined that term, you know, Satan made me do it. Now, no doubt Satan shows up a lot of times, and I'll deal with that here in a minute. But he said that, first of all, what is it that by our own lusts, you want to do some things sometimes. Galatians chapter 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So your flesh rises up
on you. How many of us strive to keep it under control? You know, you can learn by the help of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit and that to keep your flesh under control. But he said our own lust. Can I tell you, let me put it to you like this. What you see is against you. This thing, your members, is against you. It's against the inner man. What did Paul say again? He said the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. You ever dealt with somebody that's contrary? Have you ever said, man, they're contrary to deal with? You know what that means? You can't get them to line up with your way of thinking. That means you can't get them to do what you want them to do. How many of you has ever had a, and you may have one now, a lot of, even growing up, I had a dog. And you can take a dog and you can teach it to sit and roll over. And there's a lady I went to church with years ago, you could tell her dog was named Dido. I don't know where that name come from. It's a little beagle dog that stayed in the house. And she could say, and now grin, Dido, grin, and that dog would grin. Meet all I ever seen, he would smile. You ever seen a smiling dog? They needed him for a commercial or something, you know, for dental sticks or something. I don't know. Anyway. Well, then some of us has had dogs growing up that no matter how much you hollered and no matter how much you offered them food or whatever, they could be running away from you and you could holler at them. You had a dog do this to you one time, didn't you, Bob? I remember this. You'd holler at him by name. That dog stopped and turned around and looked at him and then kept on going. I'd call that being contrary, wouldn't you? Now, that's a little weak analogy this morning, but listen, that's the way our flesh is. The Holy Spirit screams at us, says our name, and if we're not careful, we'll turn around and look at Him, and then we'll keep going to do what we want to do. And that's yielding to temptation. But our flesh is against us. And it will cause us to enter in to temptation if we'll let it. James said every man is tempted when he is drawn away. See, do you get that? We're drawn away from the truth. We're drawn away from what's right. We're drawn away from the Word of God. Drawn away of his own lust. And then he says, and enticed. I believe he differs them because I believe today that Satan is the one that entices us. Now, if you don't think you have an enemy, you're a fool because he is out there to destroy you today. You need to understand that he's going to get you. Genesis chapter 3, the Bible said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Do you understand how Satan tempts today? One of the very first things he'll tempt you with or say to you, does God really care about that? I mean, he was tempting her in the very fact to question the Word of God. That ought to tell you something about Satan. The very first thing when he shows up on the world scene is he is questioning the Word of God. You know what he wants you to do? Question the Word of God. Amen. Because if you can justify in your mind that your sin's okay, it'll be all right. If you can justify that, no, that book really don't mean what it says, it's okay if I do this. It's okay if I cheat on my wife or my husband. Hey, it's okay if I take a little drink every now and then. Hey, it's okay. Hey, you'll justify those things in your mind. Because you'll say, well, now God's Word, you know, it really don't mean that. Or it really don't say that. It really don't mean those things. And so that's what he was trying to get Eve and that to get committed to was the very fact is God's Word didn't matter. God really didn't mean what he said. And I tell you today that God does mean what he says. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, you find a time when Satan, the Bible said Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. God didn't want David to number Israel. For in the very fact that he numbered them, that he would think that he had a great army. And that he done everything, and that the army of God done everything. And even Joab told him over there, I'll go do it, but you don't need to do this, David. But the Bible said right here that Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. He'll get you against God and the things of God and against the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, as he's talking about forgiving us over there, he tells us something about Satan. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. If we're not ignorant of his devices, then why do we end up in sin? Because we've listened to what he has to say. We've listened to what our flesh wants. And boy, I'm telling you what, when you put them together, when you've got Satan over here enticing you, and that's something your flesh really wants to do, hey! I remember I had a preacher call me one time. And I really didn't think much of it at the time. And I didn't think he was trying to justify sin. At the time, looking back on it, that's exactly what he was doing. And that's that same preacher I was telling y'all about last week. That ended up, I mean, for lack of better words, he ended up down the hog pen. Just what Luke 15 tells us about. And we were talking about a few things, and he was talking about drinking, and not himself drinking, but somebody else. And I didn't think much of the conversation at the time. I mean, I told him what I thought, but looking back on it, he was trying to justify some things in his mind. Now, I'm going to tell you, Satan is after you, and he's going to tempt you. And so when that temptation comes, you've got two choices. Temptation finds you, so the first choice is you can follow the temptation. You can go down that road and you can partake of that sin, and it may seem fun for a little while. Sin a lot of times seems like it's going to be a good time. Or was it the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 11? Now, I told about Moses choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so he paints a pretty picture, Satan does. Your flesh paints a pretty picture to you and says, man, this is going to be great. This is going to be wonderful. This is going to turn out good. It never does. It never does. Yielding to temptation never does. I hope I'm preaching to people that are far enough in their Christian life. And I preach to most of you on enough. Some of you I ain't, but I preach to most of you on enough. And most of you should have had enough Bible training to know to stay away from sin. And to keep your children away from it. Let me talk about that for just a minute. You know, some of the reasons that your children's going to get into sin is because of you. Say amen. You moms and dads that's raising children, hey, listen today, you are to keep sin out of your home, out of your house, out of your life. Your children are going to do exactly what they see you do and what you want to do. Amen. You may not have been able to do it. You ever heard the old saying that they're living through their children? You may not have been able to do what you wanted to do growing up, so you're going to live your life out through your children. Hey, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. Hey, you're to guard your children. You're to protect your children. You're to keep them out of sin. At every cost, you're to keep them out of sin. Warn them about what happens. I mean, there's so much out there today that they can get into. More today than there was when me and Kelly was growing up. But sin's still sin. It's still all disobedience to God. Huh? Sin's still sin. But teach your children to stay out of the world today. Hey, listen, anything that is contrary and that to the Word of God, you need to stay away from it. So you know what that means? You need to study the Word of God, don't you? Boy, we always come back around to that, don't we? Knowing what the Word of God says. You need to know what the Word of God says. But preacher, I really want to do it. Hey, there's a lot of things I wanted to do over the years, but Scripture said not to do it. Amen. When it's plain, it's plain. But yet we go on, don't we? And you know what? If you're convicted about some things and you say there ain't no scripture in there about what I'm convicted about, but if I was convicted about it, I think I'd just take James at his word over there where it said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. I've told you this before. Man, when I was smoking, I hated to come across that scripture. And I'd hate it when anybody else used it on me too. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him it's sin. Ha! Man, I hated that. Why? Because I knew that book was right. And I knew what I was doing wasn't. What about you? Is what you're doing today, you know the book's right, but what you're doing ain't. You have followed that temptation, and it's got you into sin. You follow that temptation, you're going to end up there. But it's something, preacher, that I want to do. I guess that makes it all right, don't it? Does that make it all right? How am I doing this morning, by the way? That's kind of weak. Mercy. I thought about Luke chapter 15. The prodigal wanted to leave home. By the way, that word prodigal means wasteful. And the younger son wanted to leave home in Luke 15, and he takes everything that his daddy has given to him, he packs it up in a suitcase, and down the road he goes, and he thinks he's going to have a great time. And before it's over with, he has spent all. He's down in the hog pen, joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he's down there feeding the swine, and he's wanting to eat the same slop, but they're eating. You're headed there. Oh, no, not me, preacher. Not me. Sin is very deceptive. Temptation is very deceptive. If it painted the picture on the front end, none of us would ever fall for it, would we? Seriously. If drinking and driving painted the picture on the front end, if drinking alone painted the picture on the front end, so that's just a good time. I've never been around that stuff. Never wanted to be around that stuff. Didn't grow up in a home. Maybe you did, but I didn't. Listen, I can remember. I went to work. Was working. Me and Kelly got married when we was 19. And let me tell you this. We went through some keepsake boxes this week. My wife's been off work. That's a two-edged sword. Because you find some pictures. And so you just ain't as young as you used to be. And that'll get you in trouble. But I can remember when me and her first got married and I was working a full-time job, and the production manager came to me the first year that I was working where I was, and he said, now look, he said, we've got our Christmas party going on coming up. And they'd already warned me about this Christmas party that there's going to have some drinking there. And I looked at him, I said, and I love my production manager, I really did. He was just a great guy to get along with. And I said, he's going to have some drinking there? And he said, no. He said, yes, we're going to have, they'll be drinking. I said, then I won't come. I said, I'll just tell you right now. I said, I ain't never been around it. Ain't going to be around it. Don't need to be around it. Don't want to be around it. You know, that's a good way to do with sin. Just don't even get yourself around it. We said, well, I'm not going to drink. Don't get yourself around it. Don't get yourself around it. Stay separated from the world. Now, say, it ain't going to hurt nothing, preacher. Just don't get around it. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, the general manager, Mike, he'll probably want to come talk to you about that. I said, okay, I'll be fine. You know, he never did come talk to me about that. I'm just saying, somewhere along the line, you got to make up your mind about some things. Don't follow after temptation. You say, well, that's something you didn't want to do. That's exactly right. Well, what if it had been something that you did want to do, preacher? It wouldn't have mattered. You shouldn't follow after it. But the prodigal ended up down in the hog pen. David wanted to take Bathsheba, even though he knew that she was Uriah's wife. He done it, got himself in trouble, didn't he? David numbered Israel in 1 Chronicles 21, got them all in trouble and killed part of his people. Joshua chapter 7, Achan stole the gold, the silver, and the goodly Babylonian garment and got himself killed with the rest of his family over there. See, your sin just don't affect you. If you read 1 Kings chapter 11, Solomon got over there at the very beginning of his kingdom and prayed for wisdom. Lord, he said, I'm just like a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. He said, I can't be king to these people without some wisdom. And you know, when Solomon got over there at the end of his life, in 1 Kings chapter 11, the Bible said he married all them strange women over there, and they turned his heart, and that from God. He
went in knowing what was going to happen. Can I tell you today that most of you all are going to go into sin knowing what's going to happen? But temptation, you got to follow it for it to get you. If the Lord says don't do it, don't do it. Go back and look at the children of Israel. He tells us to flee temptation. Not to follow temptation, but to flee from it. That word flee means to run with, I think you pronounce this with rapidity. That means with rapidness. To run with rapidity as from danger. To attempt to escape. The Lord told us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10 to flee idolatry. 1 Timothy chapter 6 to flee riches. 2 Timothy chapter 2 to flee youthful lusts. We're to flee from temptation. I remember watching a preacher preach on that one time years ago. Up north. And he got to preaching on that and he got to talking about fleeing. And the next thing we know, he done run out the door. He done fleed away. As in, I mean, he's done preaching. I mean, it was the end of the message. You remember that? Man, that's a long time ago. But to flee means to run away from. But not only to run away from, but to run away from as it is danger that it's going to trap you and get you. See, that's the thing about temptation. When you see it coming, then you flee from it. You run away from it. You don't follow it. You turn from it and run away. Well, don't that sound easy today? But why is it so hard? Because it entices us, don't it? It draws us and wants us to come and take part of that, and it sounds so good and it looks so good and it makes itself so pretty and it paints the picture. But we are to flee from temptation. When we separate, I remember one time I was talking to a fellow, and I've used this statement before, but temptation without opportunity is one thing. An opportunity without temptation is another thing. But when you put temptation and opportunity together, then you're really in trouble. You know why I tell you moms and dads not to let your girls get in no car with no sap-headed boy? Because you're just about putting temptation and opportunity together. Or vice versa. Don't let them get in a car with any strange girl neither. I'm just being honest, trying to save you and them both a lot of trouble. But I trust them. I'm glad you trust them. But man, you better be careful and be careful who they go out with. That's extra, amen, but it's good, ain't it? You better teach your children to flee from temptation. You need to learn how to flee. I need to learn how to flee and then practice that. The Bible says right here in James chapter 7, how are we going to flee from temptation? He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I've heard folk misquote that verse years upon years. They'll say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That ain't what Scripture says. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The very first thing is you and I need a life that is submitted to the Lord. See, that changes the whole playing field. I mean, that changes everything. Until you become submitted under the Lord and you get yourself under submission to the Holy Father, get yourself under submission and that to the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, you're not going to be able to resist Him. You're not going to be able to flee away from Him, and He's going to get you. Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I understand I can't take on temptation by myself. The very next verse said, there is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The temptation may not go away, but He'll help you through it. You'll still be faced with it. It'll still be there. But what you'll understand is that there is an outcome that's going to come to that temptation that is no good. We need to understand that we're not bigger than the temptation, but they're the one we serve is. What was it little John said? Because greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Let me read that whole verse. He said, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, ain't you glad he's in you? Why do you think the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God? Why? Because we're going to have to fight, ain't we? Do you know that sometimes to get away from that temptation, sometimes to be able to flee that temptation, you're going to have to fight? To get away from it, it's going to try to grasp you and hold on to you, and it wants you, and it's going to try to attack you and get you and destroy you and your family. It's going to try, and you're going to have to fight. Preacher, you're preaching like this stuff is real. Yes, I am. Don't you deal with it? I deal with it. I deal with temptation from the devil, and I deal with temptation from my flesh every day. Every day. I remember Brother Hood. Brother Jimmy Hood. He was from Columbus. Brother Hood passed away, didn't he? Didn't he pass away? Didn't Brother Hood pass away? I think he did. And I remember when he was staying in, before I come down here to pastor, me and Kelly, he was holding revival up in Sweetwater at our home church. And I remember we got to go pick him up at the hotel every night. We pick him up at the hotel, take him to church and bring him back. I just thought that was a grand thing to get to do. And I remember he got to preaching one night, and Brother Hood, he was at my 60s then. And he said, you know, when I was in my 20s, the only women that bothered me was those in their 20s. And then he said, when I got in my 30s, those that bothered me was in the 30s and in the 20s. And he said, now my mom's even bothered me along the way. And then those in their 50s and in their 40s and in their 30s and in their 20s. Listen, there's always something out there to get you. So, preacher, why would I want to live a Christian life if there's something always out there trying to get me? Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to put myself into that situation? Because whether you're saved or lost, Satan's out there to get you. You need to understand that. Whether you're saved or lost, Satan is out there to destroy you. If you're lost, he's going to destroy you, and he's going to have your soul, and he's going to end up taking it to hell with him one day if you don't get saved. He's out to destroy you. He can't get my soul, but he can get my testimony. He can get my life for Christ. He can ruin me and make me a bad witness if I'll let him. Why would you just want to live for the Lord and go through all those problems and go through all that temptation? I'd rather please him to know that I'm pleasing the Father is to please the devil today. But if you do sin, if you do follow that temptation, instead of fleeing from it, you ought to be glad that there's forgiveness for it today. The Bible said in 1 John, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. I was reading that in my daily Bible reading the other day. And now that's not to all the verse, but he said, I write unto you that you sin not. Period. Now that's what he said. I write unto you that you sin not. Period. And then he said, and if any man sin. I always thought that was good. He said, I write unto you that you sin not. Period. And then he said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Even though we might mess up, I guarantee you we're going to mess up. But that ain't no reason to mess up. You say, well, we're going to mess up anyway, so you just might as well. No. No, your thinking's wrong. Your thinking's wrong. But if you do fall in, that's bad terminology, if you do follow the temptation, think none of us just fall into temptation. Think none of us just fall into sin. You know what you're doing. You're going into it with your eyes wide open, knowing what you're doing when you do it. If you're saved, you will. Because I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will be screaming so loud at you, He'll be telling you not to do it. If you're saved. But he said, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Just because you yield to temptation does not mean you have to stay in sin.
And listen, a lot of people say, well, preacher, I can get forgiveness. And, you know, you ever heard that old saying, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission? We've said that a lot on the job over the years. When I worked a public job, we'll go ahead and do it and we'll just give forgiveness later. But see, it does work that way. You can mess up and get forgiveness of that sin and get it squared up with God and fixed with God. But if you go into it with that thought on your mind, your heart ain't right to start with. There's something wrong with your thinking. You should want to serve God with your whole heart and be separated out of this world. And realize, you say, well, preacher, if I just get forgiveness, then why don't I just go ahead and do it? You've got to realize there's always a judgment day coming and a reaping day. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I believe I would flee temptation just as fast as I could. Run away from it. So I can't run fast enough. Preacher, it runs faster than I do, and it's catching me. Submit yourself to the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Listen, I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble this morning. If you know what the Word of God says, then do it. If you don't know what the Word of God says, then read it and find out what His book says. But the worst thing of all in the temptation that we have today is when folk refuse the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Satan is tempting you not to say yes to the Savior today. He's getting you just as much as he gets saved people and trying to destroy you. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's get a verse of invitation, fellas. Maybe you face temptation this week or this month or whatever it may be. And you say, preacher, this thing's just about to wire me out. I'm wanting to do right. I'm wanting to do right so bad. But it's a wiring me out. He's a chasing me. And I can't get away from him fast enough. This thing's just wiring me out, preacher. It's just wiring me out. Won't you come and ask the Lord for some help? Submit yourself on to the Lord today and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble. I just want you to know that temptation is going to try to find you. And when it does, you've got to make a choice of whether to follow it or whether to flee from it. And right now, I believe the Lord's trying to help you this morning if you'll let him. I believe he's trying to help somebody to get saved this morning. He said, well, that had to do with temptation, not with salvation. Yeah, but see what Satan's doing today is telling you that you shouldn't get saved. That you got plenty of time. That's disobedience to God. You're disobeying the Father that's in heaven, wanting to save you. Why don't you come and get saved today? Go ahead and start playing when you're ready, Brother Lewis. Listen, if you need to come, why don't you come? Why don't you come today?